Sandy Schwark, copyright Schwark 2025. We began this study of education with John Stormer's historic 1964 book None Dare Call It Treason. Warning of globalists working from within our government, media, churches and schools to create a new social order. The tactics he revealed have played out as if scripted. The state took over the education of children, removing parents and the Bible from schools, replacing God with humanism. Children have been indoctrinated to socialist ideologies and to believe everything is wrong with America. Curriculums have been dumbed down with conformity to the group made as most important. And the last vestiges of patriotism, love of America and Christian beliefs have been erased. The globalists' final mission is to turn these proselytized children into global citizens. For this, they've had even more powerful and evil interests behind them. Graphic: Brave New Schools. 1996, United Nations and Global Education. As previously reviewed, the United Nations is the world body established to carry out the globalists' agendas. UN's vision for education is encompassed in the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. It oversees the school curricula in every UN member nation. All member nations must guarantee their schools abide by UNESCO guidelines, which determine what all children everywhere must be taught. We'll learn how they achieved that coming up. UNESCO was established by evolutionary humanists, socialists, and eugenicists. Its first director general, 1946-1948, minus who laid the foundations for its guidelines and drafted its constitution minus was all three. His name was Julian Huxley. Julian Huxley had a complex and sordid past. He was a life fellow of the Eugenics Society from 1925, its vice president from 1937 to 1944, and president from 1959 to 1962. Not only was he an early campaigner for sterilization legislation in the 1930s, he was a member of International Planned Parenthood Federation and the Family Planning Association in the 1950s, and vice president of the Abortion Law Reform Association from 1969-1970. Huxley was a socialist with a global vision of using science for social engineering. His brother, Aldous, was the author of The Brave New World and was a lifelong agnostic, as well as a eugenicist. Julian Huxley's 1947 report on the organization of UNESCO described its master agreement with the UN General Assembly and how its goals were in collaboration with other UN agencies minus including World Health Organization, International Bank, International Refugee Organization, Universal Postal Union, and UN Commission on Human Rights. The UN's definition of human rights are not as defined by Christians. UNESCO stated its guiding principle was that sciences are the tools of progress and most successful when fully unified all over the world. UNESCO developed the guidelines for educating students in world citizenship, curriculums for international textbooks and libraries, the teacher's charter, humanistic studies, and teachings on the dangers of nationalism. It also established youth service camps to engage young people in social transformation and climate action, and established the World Federation of Democratic Youth. WFDY describes itself as a militant group fighting against the number one enemy of the peoples, capitalism in its imperialist stage, and it currently campaigns in solidarity with Palestine. Its U.S. wings are the Young Communist League of the Communist Party and the Young Socialists of the Socialists Workers' Party. Huxley said that from the beginning, he badly wanted to set up a powerful organization concerned with population control. In association with the UN, but religious and nationalist prejudices permitted only a handful of experimental projects. Today, in 1970, I'm thankful to say, not only UNESCO but the UN itself, WHO and also the World Bank are helping with this, in my opinion, the most important task facing mankind. According to a 30-year UNESCO retrospective publication, author Paulo E. de Barreto Carneiro wrote that Huxley felt his most important philosophical work was his 1927 book, Religion Without Revelation. He thought it possible to establish a moral system which was purely scientific in inspiration. In his view, love of God should be replaced by love of nature and love of humanity. His concept was of a religion without revealed dogmas, without deities, without heaven or earth. Please support the Virginia Christian Alliance website and community center. We would appreciate your donation. Huxley's book was a distortion of scripture and of science in an effort to make a case for a humanist faith. He wrote that his new religion would achieve freedom from the sense of sin, adding, "This scientific humanism is based on the evolutionism of Darwin, but in my view, it has a much closer affinity with the philosophy of Auguste Comte and his religion of humanity." In 1946, before UNESCO was official, Huxley had written a paper on UNESCO's purpose and philosophy that was so extreme and controversial for its anti-religious bias that UNESCO's preparatory commission withheld sponsoring the text. It was only made public 30 years later and revealed not only extreme environmental and evolution ideas, but deep eugenics. UNESCO's mission to destroy patriotism within free countries. It is unimaginable why the United States or any free country would have agreed to subject their children to UNESCO's plans. It made no secret that it set out to indoctrinate children against their parents and abolish any allegiances to churches, home, or country. In a series for teachers called Towards World Understanding, published in 1949 to 1951, UNESCO went into great depths to explain the indoctrination steps for teachers. Its edition, In the Classroom with Children Under 13 Years of Age, stressed the importance of starting in kindergarten or infant school, saying, not only can it correct many of the errors of home training, but it can also prepare the child for membership, at about the age of 7, on his way to membership in the world society. It recognized that children learn to feel patriotic within their homes by hearing about the virtues of their country, its history, and national heroes. They called these children infected with nationalism, and that it was the complete negation of world-mindedness, and the major obstacle to its development. That can't be allowed. To deal with nationalism, it wrote, as long as the child breathes the poisoned air of nationalism, education in world-mindedness can produce only rather precarious results. As we have pointed out, it is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. The school should therefore use the means described earlier to combat family attitudes that favor jingoism. Lucid analysis, the study of the lives and public activities of some statesmen, and the comparison of certain critical periods of ancient and modern history will illustrate with what regularity the nationalistic attitude has led people to final disaster and has delayed the advent of international understanding and cooperation. It went on to recognize the role of national anthems in bringing feelings of belonging to their national community. That, too, must be squelched. Instead, they promoted folk songs, popular poems and music, and singing in foreign languages, of other cultures to impart feelings of a world, human, community. In place of a national anthem, they proposed an international anthem to be sung by all children of the world. This is reminiscent of the Internationale, part of the socialist movement of Karl Marx. The teaching of history would need to be edited and rewritten, UNESCO wrote, to teach a universal history and turn children into global citizens. Instruction should concentrate on teaching about a universal civilization that is the work of all peoples. Teaching should also be directed towards international solidarity and understanding, and lead children to consider the whole of humanity as the fatherland where everyone is enrolled. Statements of international faith will also lead the child to grow used to considering the earth as his habitat. They also called upon teachers to work to influence public opinion and use their professional teachers' organizations, which belong to the International Federation, to be politically active. Teacher unions should take the offensive, it said, and voice their opinions with much authority. Teacher unions took up the call to action, the activists behind the creation of world-minded global citizens. America's teacher unions, significantly funded by the Carnegie Corporation, were behind the United Nations and its efforts to transform America's school children into global citizens. The NEA was chartered by an act of Congress in 1906. It succeeded in getting the Hatch Act amended, a law that banned public employees from political activity, in 1945, freeing the NEA to become political activists. The NEA and its NEA Journal became increasingly radical after that, as historian Dennis L. Cuddy, Ph.D., documented in his 1993 book, Chronology of Education. Carnegie and NEA lobbied diligently through the early 1940s for the establishment of UNESCO and for teaching students about the UN to develop an allegiance to a world community. A lot of money and political weight was focused on the UN effort. In 2006, Carnegie celebrated its long 60-plus year history of massive support and funding for the UN Charter and UNESCO, along with Ford, Rockefeller, MacArthur, and UN foundations, as well as working behind the scenes through educators, think tanks, and non-governmental organizations. In 1948, with a grant from Carnegie Corporation, the NEA and its Committee on International Relations, its Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, ASCD, and its National Council for the Social Studies, produced the international guidelines called Education for International Understanding in American Schools. It was a massive two-year project with more than 950 contributors, and centered on UN agendas. According to the U.S. representative, the UN General Assembly had passed a resolution calling on all UN member states to provide teaching about the UN in schools, and to instill in children intimate feelings of association, in order to become international citizens. The teachers' guidelines for American schools listed 10 marks of the world-minded American, to instill in children, focused on peace. But globalists do not define peace as most people think of it. The purpose of education for peace is not education for its own sake, but rather education that will result in intelligent action by world-minded Americans, it said. American patriotism must be modified for a changing world, and American children must learn to adapt to global economic changes and restructuring of production and distribution. In 1993, the NEA and its international affiliates joined with the American Federation of Teachers to form the International Teachers Union, Education International, A. In doing so, they created the largest and most powerful international trade union in history. Bringing together the two most powerful education organizations and commanding major political power behind their global policy agenda. A now includes 375 member organizations, purportedly representing over 33 million teachers and education support workers around the world. Globalized, teachers' unions are now governed by the World Congress, and their fervent work is focused on the UN Sustainable Development Goals and achieving UN Agenda 2030. EI's General Secretary is education rights activist David Edwards, formerly with the NEA of the US. He's also an education authority to the World Economic Forum. A makes no secret that its core mission is political activism to bring a socialist world vision, with campaigns in support of gender equity and inclusion, democracy, and fight against nationalism, free public schooling and opposition to privatization, support for Palestine and Libya, advocate for open immigration, oppose free market capitalist systems, support the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and promote its climate change education for all manifesto. 2 decades ago, UNESCO received a massive influx of globalist money and weight that finally enabled them to accelerate their efforts to transform America's education. Every school classroom, school subject and textbook would be remade. Part 2 will continue this saga as the UN accelerates its sustainable development goals with increasingly tyrannical measures.